I speak in the name of the risen Jesus, and I pray that as we look at his word today, that we may open our hearts and lives to the claims, to the invitations that comes to each of us. And I pray this in his powerful name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us here, get the Anglo-Celt newspaper. Do most of us get the paper? It's not always what's in the paper, but you feel if you don't get it that you're going to miss out on something. So we get it like you all every week. And the week before Easter, I loved the headline that was in the paper. This is what it said. It said, "Celeb spotters left dancing in the dark over rumours that The Boss and Ed Sheeran jetted in for wedding." Did you see that headline or that article? It was referring to the speculation that a few weekends ago, and all the rumours were around, that Bruce Springsteen and Ed Sheeran were going to be playing at a wedding across the road from the rectory in the Virginia Park Lodge. Sadly, the speculation and the rumours were very wide of the mark. You generally say, well, until I hear him singing or until I see him, I'm not going to believe it. Rumours and speculation. And in a sense, that gives us a way into today's post-Easter morning reading. Speculation, rumours, were they true or are they true or not? Now, before Lent, we were travelling through the book of John. We reached John chapter 4, and we are going to come back to John for the next while. But having started the first few chapters, we're going to spend a week or so in the end of John's Gospel. And today, as we pick up our reading from John chapter 20, we know that Jesus has appeared to the disciples. He has appeared to many others. He has showed them his hands and his side, and many have seen that it is true that Jesus physically has raised from the dead. He's alive. But as we follow along in the passage, and do please pick up the weekly sheet or the Pew Bible at this stage, we come across Thomas, who we're told in verse 24, was the only disciple to this point that has not met Jesus. He was missing on every other occasion where the disciples meet Jesus. And in verse 25, we read that when Thomas does meet up with the others, you can imagine the excitement that they have. You can imagine the excitement that would have gone around Virginia had some of these big world stars been there. "I saw Ed Sheeran. I met Bruce Springsteen in the local cafe." And yet, as they share their excitement with Thomas, he refuses to accept what they see. He refuses to accept that the resurrection is real. He wants proof. And Thomas tells his friends that he won't believe that Jesus is alive until he can touch the hands, the scars, and the side of Jesus for himself. Thomas is skeptical. Now, the question I want to ask, though, is this. Should we be critical of Thomas? Should we say to him, "Oh, you of little faith, Thomas"? In fact, does he deserve his nickname, which still holds some 2,000 years later? Doubting Thomas. In fact, we use that to describe someone, don't we? Even today, when they don't believe something, "You're such a doubting Thomas." Is that fair on Thomas? Well, I think the answer that comes in the rest of the passage is that Thomas shouldn't be seen in negative terms. For he asks, for he says perhaps the things that we might think silently, but be afraid to verbalize. I, for one, think fair play, Thomas. Your stance helps us all learn. I'm a great believer in asking questions.
and finding out the answers. That's how we all learn. That's how children learn. Why? And of course, when we've been there, the why doesn't stop there, does it? The why becomes, but why? But why? It's a never-ending series of questions. That's how we all learn. It's by asking questions. It's by going deeper in our thirst for knowledge. And that's where I think Thomas is at. And in verse 26, we find that Thomas remains in his disbelief for a whole week, for 7 whole days. And then he eventually meets the risen Jesus. And it's interesting to hear and to see and to read the response as to how Jesus treats him. As Thomas and the disciples are gathered together, we are told in verse 26 that Jesus comes and he stands among them. And he says in verse 26, "Peace be with you." Then rather than have a go at Thomas, rather than put Thomas in his place and belittle Thomas, do you notice what Jesus says in verse 27? He says, "Put your hand here. See my hand. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." And then he simply says to Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe." And as Thomas at last encounters the risen Jesus, he is driven to his knees. And what does he say in verse 28? As he recognizes the truth of what Jesus is and what has happened, as he falls to his knees, he says with great faith, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." It's a very special moment for him. The speculation and the rumors that have gone around have proved true. Thomas's doubt has been relieved. Jesus is alive. And as we read on, Jesus does not condemn Thomas, but he tells him that there is a point that he must move beyond his doubtful questioning, which, while good, has actually become a barrier to a deeper, more trusting faith. Again, follow along with me in verse 29. Jesus says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." For me, these are incredibly important words for us here in this place today. Jesus helps Thomas and the others then realize how lucky they are. They have had the opportunity to see Jesus in the flesh, which makes believing easier. However, Jesus is emphasizing to Thomas and to us the point that whether Thomas had physically seen Jesus or not, it should actually not have made a difference. The faith response is the most important thing, especially for us, as we'll come to in a moment, who live 2,000 years in the future, when the hard part will come, when the followers of Jesus will have to believe, even though they don't see for now. Okay, as we engage with this passage, how do we apply it? What are the challenges and the questions that it poses for all of us today? Well, as we apply this passage today, the first thing we take away is that one of the greatest blessings we encounter as searchers, as seekers, as believers, is the freedom to explore the big questions of life, the why questions of life, and within that, to explore our faith. Christian faith is not a passive one. It's one that invites questions. The Christian faith is a robust one in which we can and should have the confidence, the boldness, the audacity to ask tough questions concerning our faith, our traditions, and what we are taught. Our faith should never be a passive one. Questions help us grow and deepen in our faith. They are good. So ask questions. Seek answers to the big faith questions of life. But the second thing we take away that we're challenged with today is, who is Jesus for us? Who is Jesus for us? Do we, as we sit here, believe in the claims that are made about him? The challenge Jesus gives to Thomas is a fair one, just as Thomas has a right to question. Questioning is good. But here is the crucial thing that I believe that we learn. There comes a point when each of us, having weighed all of the evidence up, has to decide for ourselves who Jesus is for us. Whether the claims made by Jesus, by the Christian faith, are good or not. Comes a point where each of us has to make that faith decision. Whether Jesus is who he says he is, or whether it is completely made up. As we seek to do that, the primary place we find John at the end of the passage to go is the Bible. This is the greatest gift that God has given those who ask the big questions, who seek the questions in life. And John, right at the end of the passage, quoting Jesus, puts it in a nutshell in verse 31, when he writes these words, "These are written," i.e., the purpose of John's gospel, the accounts of Jesus are written, "so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." John puts it very clearly, doesn't he, in black and white. His purpose is to help people explore their faith, to ask the big questions. But he is very clear about what lies at the end of that. It is so that people may believe who Jesus is, what his claims are, and that they may have life, eternal life, in his name. I guess how I interpret that is that Jesus is saying we in the here and now have at some point to make a faith decision as to who Jesus is for us. As individuals, as we weigh up all that we read and hear, as we learn about the historical Jesus, as we hear the claims that are part of the Christian faith, that we all must come to a point where we either believe or we don't. There is no fence sitting. We must make an informed choice to walk away, or we must make an informed choice to walk towards. There is no middle ground when it comes to who Jesus is. So the question I ask myself and all of us as we weigh up the Easter story is, Jesus, who he says he is, the Savior of the world, who has redeemed us, or is he merely an historical character who ultimately is a fraud and means little? This passage encourages each of us, beyond speculation and rumor, to believe in and to have a living relationship with the risen Jesus, who we can know in our spirit, in our heart, and in our lives. And my sincere prayer always is that many will come to believe here, in this group of parishes, in this community, across this land, and through our world, that many will come to believe for themselves that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that through believing, we, as John says, may have life in his name. That we too, like Thomas, may say about Jesus in the depths of our hearts and our lives, "My Lord and my God." So perhaps this week, as an exercise, we can take time to reflect on the words of Jesus and what they mean to each of us when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Let's pray together.
Heavenly Father, a very earthed and human story. The doubt of Thomas. And yet as he goes through that doubt, he is brought to a place of deeper faith in Jesus, the risen Jesus. And I pray too that we would always be confident in asking the big questions of life, that we would be open to searching the Bible, God's word given as a gift to us, and that each of us here today would not only know Jesus as an historical figure, but that we would know in a deep way in our lives that Jesus is risen, is alive, and is our Lord and our Savior. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. And I pray all of this in the name of the risen Christ. Amen.